Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
It's SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Good evening and welcome to the love fest that is Tell Me Everything. Coming at you live and interactive for the next 3 hours with some of our favorite guests on tonight. We bring this show to you with the most dangerous production squad in all of broadcasting. The great Chris Hauselt running this beast out of South Carolina. The mighty Thea Harper producing out of Brooklyn. I come to you from the Isle of Manhattan. And it's a pleasure to have you with us. It was a crazy, crazy day again. I think we're going to have to get used to these for the next few months. So I promise to talk y'all off ledges if you promise to talk me off mine. We're going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by Simon Moya-Smith and Julie Francella. So it's a very big day with Schumer's announcement and Kamala Harris's appearance and Bernie Sanders' Billy's introduced. But can I just say we're never going to know how lucky we were that Donald Trump chose to surround himself with people who very often were more stupid than Donald Trump. We got to talk about Alexander Smirnoff briefly, because remember last month when the Fed said in a detention memo that this guy Smirnoff, who was the guy they charged with making up the lies that Joe Biden was bribed by the Ukrainians, they said in this memo that he'd also had high-level contacts with Russian intelligence operatives. He admitted to meeting with Russian intel people as recently as last December, and they kept feeding him dirt on Hunter Biden. And it shows, the Fed said, that the misinformation he was spreading wasn't just confined to what he did in 2020. This guy Smirnoff is like the Leonard Zelig of FBI rats. According to him, he just kept meeting all the right Russians at the right time, like assassins and guys who collect compromise on people. So last month, he was charged with lying to the FBI. And right now he's being held without bail because they said he's a flight risk because all of his contacts with Russian officials in the Middle East and he has access to a lot of money. He's accused of lying to the FBI about Hunter Biden and the president. And he was saying that they engaged in this bribery scheme with executives at the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. Oh, you haven't heard that word in a month or two, have you? Burisma. Yeah, it almost became the new Benghazi, but no. This guy began talking to the FBI in 2020, and federal prosecutors now say the stuff he was feeding them were lies. And the lies were the major justification the Republicans used for the entire House impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. This is Jim Comer and Jim Jordan's incredibly credible witness we heard about for a whole year. They have touted this guy as a reliable informant. And James Comer, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, he threatened to hold the director of the FBI in contempt unless he handed over that FBI form from 2020 with Smirnoff's claims to the committee. They defended this guy left and right. And then they found out it was all lies. Russia was having him feed these lies. Well, maybe it was Russia had him feed these lies. Turns out today, we found out that back in 2020, the same year Mr. Smirnoff began feeding these anti-Biden Burisma lies, the same year he began lying to the FBI and giving the Republican Party just what they wanted, 2020, he was paid $600,000 by a company called the Economic Transformation Technologies. That's an American company, and they paid this guy, the indicted FBI informant. It's connected to a UK company that's owned by Trump associates in Dubai. So Trump is now connected to Alexander Smirnoff in a few different ways. And again, the same year they paid him was the year he began feeding lies about the Bidens to the FBI and the Republican Congress. Trump associates gave him $600,000 around the time he started lying about them. Friends, I haven't been this shocked since Ricky Martin came out of the closet. $500,000 from a Trump-linked company. And suddenly, he is telling these scumbags, Comer and Jordan, exactly the lies they need, not to get a credible investigation, but to get an effective smear. Because that's what it's about. Donald Trump does these lies not to eventually be proven right, just to win elections. He was impeached once for blackmailing the president of Ukraine so he could cheat and win in 2020. He was impeached again for trying to obstruct your government and trying to block the certification of votes to cheat to win again in 2020. And now we find out they were paying a shit ton of money to this guy to spread these lies. And the media is going to have to spend a lot of time correcting all their stories about Burisma now, aren't they? Boy, that's going to take a lot of time to go back and correct all those. That would be like if Special Counsel Robert Hur had said Joe Biden couldn't remember when his son died. And the media covered that a lot. And later we knew that was a lie and Biden knew exactly when his son died. Ugh. But here's the crazy thing. This guy was an FBI informant, right? But the FBI just let him go out and break the law. This is why it's really interesting. In the beginning, when he first made his deal, they told him the limits of permission to engage in what are called otherwise illegal activities. That's the official term, otherwise illegal activities. On at least five occasions, he was admonished on the limits of permission to do otherwise illegal activities, starting in the summer of 2020. That's what the FBI does before they pre-approve you getting to go out there and commit crimes, because the FBI, if you're doing a deal with them, they will let you go out and break the law if they have a chance to learn about who you're breaking the law with. So think about that. For all of these different sketchy things that people said Smirnoff might have done, there's a real possibility this guy was doing it because the FBI was interested in who he was doing it with. Who was he doing business with? And why was this released today? I mean, think about this. Trump asked Durham to investigate the Mueller investigation. Durham did it, and he found more crimes by Trump. $6 million for cyber ninjas to have the audit of the votes in the state of Arizona. And Trump said this would show the election had been stolen. Cyber ninjas found that, no, Joe Biden actually won Arizona by more votes than the official tally. Now Trump asked Prosecutor Weiss to investigate the Bidens, and Weiss finds this Russian asset paid by Trump's friends who's lying to the Republican Party and the FBI about the Bidens. Friends, this thing stinks like Chris Christie's hamper. We want to know what you guys think. We're at 866-997-4748. If the FBI is releasing this information now, guys, it's going to be a really interesting year in presidential criminal justice. Let me go to the phones really quick before Simon and Julie join us. Sean in California, thank you for waiting on hold. You're on Progress.
Hey, Brother John. So I want to hit on these intelligent women that are...
I hit on intelligent women all the time, Sean. I only hit on intelligent women. I strike out with them every time, but that's who I hit on. What do you want to? Who do you want to hit on?
Well, no, you're married to an intelligent woman, so I... And I am, too. But I have to tell you, Kamala Harris and Thea Harper with her Theoretically Speaking, I have to give her a shout.
Yeah, we got a new special tomorrow night.
Boom. And what I'm saying is, you know, this was a brilliant move politically, but this is who Kamala is. I live in California, so I know people have their, you know, their beefs with Kamala because she's a tough, strong black woman, and black women have it hard. If you're strong and black and a woman, you know, you, everyone will criticize you.
Can I just say, in the interest of fairness, there are those who criticize her because she locked up a lot of young black men in the drug war, and that was the big rap on her from progressives. So I like her too, but let's keep in mind it wasn't the liberals going after her because she was a black woman. That's why the right wing and the major media is doing it. But she was a pretty tough prosecutor, and she locked a lot of people up in our drug war, and that was the reason for some of the progressive discontent with her. That's just me being fair. I give it back to you, Sean.
No, and you are absolutely correct, and there's a lot of people that don't like that. But the point is, if she were a white man, it's like, oh, that's just business as usual. But, you know, by the way, you know, people do commit crimes, and they do need to go to prison. But
I agree.
Get it, and I totally understand. But what she did with Planned Parenthood today was exactly what she should be doing, because she understands the situation here, and she was able to explain it in perfect cohesion, because the fact of the matter is women need to know they're under attack. If they don't understand that, I don't know, John, in the election right now coming up, it's going to be white women and young people going to save us. So
white women are going to save us. I don't know how to tell you this, bro, but the majority of white women went for my father, the monster. The majority of white women went for Trump. It's going to be non-white women who save us, and white women with self-respect or education.
Okay. Well, I hope that's the truth. But I'll tell you what, there's a few white women out there that I have hope for. They're tired of being abused and battered down, and they're like, nah, F that, fuck that, and I'm going to vote for Joe Biden because I'm tired of my freedoms being taken away from me. I'm tired of being abused. And, you know, maybe I'm just an idealistic optimist, but that's what I would like to have happen, because black women, I'm never worried about black folks. They're the smartest voting bloc that we have in this country. They're saving our ass every fucking election from disaster. But let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens, man. It's going to be very, very interesting. Sean, thank you as always for the call. It's a pleasure to talk with you. Back in just a minute with your calls, and Simon Moya-Smith and Julie Francella join us for the next hour. And I can promise you, Jesse Waters will not be spared. We'll be right back on Sirius XM.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is Sirius XM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Now it's a pleasure to bring back Simon Moya-Smith, who you guys know. He's an Oglala Lakota and Chicano journalist. He's a contributing writer at NBC News and TheNation.com. He's the author of the forthcoming book, Your Spirit Animal is a Jackass. And he's also an adjunct professor of Indigenous Studies at the University of Colorado, Denver. Simon, welcome back.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be here, man.
So good to have you. Also with us is Julie Francella, activist, artist, writer, and veteran mental health professional with over 28 years of experience working with complex trauma in the clinical field. Julie served as executive director of a domestic violence center, 13 years as a clinical caseworker at a residential treatment center for Indigenous youth and their families. She is an enrolled member of the Ojibwe Abachawana First Nation Reserve and currently works with the First Nations University of Canada. It is a pleasure to welcome you back to the show, Julie. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being had. Guys, I look forward to this segment all week. But Simon, when you and Julie requested to talk about this conversation Jesse Waters had on his show on Fox News, I jumped at the chance. Now, for those who don't know, Jesse Waters is the least talented, the most morally repellent and the most corrosively stupid thing that was ever secreted from Roger Ailes' putrid body. He is a big old sack of pus. This man is, he's a punk. He's 20 pounds of smegma in a 10-pound bag. This guy is Medusa's douche water. Jesse Waters is, he's Satan's bidet operator. He is just repellent. I could talk about it all day. But he had a gentleman on his show a couple of weeks ago who's a First Nations activist who had taken down a statue of Christopher Columbus, who we've talked about many times, and you can accuse him of many things, but being a good person is not one of those. I want to play the clip and get your takes on it, but before I do, let me ask, why did this tape catch your attention, Simon and Julie?
Well, I think it's important because it was leading discussion. Fox News isn't journalism, and that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. So, but the way he asked questions was so leading, and I felt like it was a little, there was some exploitation. He knew
a lot
that he was talking to an elder, and that maybe he wasn't as eloquent or used to. Or used to speaking with a journalist. But again, Jesse Waters isn't a journalist.
Not a journalist.
So there was so our elder, Anishinaabe elder from the American Indian Movement, he struggled a little bit in his responses, but I was getting angrier and angrier with how he was spoken to in a way that if you watch somebody speak to your mom or your dad like that, you'd probably, push them back, sock them in the face.
Yeah.
Well, let me get your take on it, Julie, because I hate to disagree with Simon, but I actually think that Mike Forsha did a pretty good job explaining himself to a group of people that are not interested in his explanation. He's clearly there just to be mocked and scorned. But Julie, why did this clip catch your attention?
Well, absolutely. First off, Anishinaabe, that's my nation. And, we treat our elders, we treat any elders with respect. And so watching this clip, it was so apparent that Jesse Waters was there to sell his book. Yeah. I mean, he talked about it being chapter 15 and we're bringing on people that I've, had in the book. And so it felt like he brought this gentleman on.
Exactly.
To kind of talk about this. And I mean, I thought he was being very disrespectful. I agree with Simon in a sense that, I thought that, he kind of struggled with his answers, but I thought he did a really good job. And I thought he spoke for, you're going to play the clip. So
let's play the clip.
Audience
and
can hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we'll stop it to get your commentary. But yeah, Fuckface, I'm sorry, Jesse Waters, I'm trying to be professional, but Jesse Fuckface Waters begins by hawking his book. This is after you're watching Fox News and sit through an ad from Donald Trump to give him money because he's a successful billionaire, but needs cash. And then when you finally get to the clip, it begins with Fuckface hawking his book and saying, we're bringing on some of the people I debate, blah, blah, blah. I think Mike Forsha displays a lot of dignity. I think he knows he's there to be mocked and scorned. Jesse doesn't actually refute any of his points. And keep in mind, would Jesse Waters argue that German Jewish children should have to walk past statues of Hitler on their way to school? Chris, will you roll
Thank
the tape
you.
And let's listen to the first
some
part of this.
I interviewed for the book, decided to come on TV and talk to us on primetime. Today, we're highlighting chapter 15 to talk to a statue-toppling American Indian. As you know, I'm a big advocate for keeping historical statues up. They symbolize our identity and what we've achieved. But not everyone believes in this. Mike Forsha is a part of the Anishinaabe tribe, a father of four and a leader of the American Indian movement. He became infamous for toppling the statue of Christopher Columbus in downtown Minneapolis during the
well
George
done.
Floyd riots. Let's bring in Mike.
Now,
why do...
Let me just pause for 1 second. When you watch the video, I want to point out that this thing has more cuts than the cast of Girl Interrupted. It was clearly done pre-taped, and they've edited it to try to make Mike Forsha not look as sharp or to cut out things he said they don't want the audience to hear. You won't know that from the audio, but Chris, please go ahead and let's begin the interview.
Do you hate America so much?
Because to me, America was built on genocide, slavery, and colonialism. And we have been through so much trauma, and America doesn't even realize it. They don't know what we've been through. And I don't hate Americans. I dislike this experiment, this failing experiment, because one of your most important documents, it talks about how all men are created equal, your Declaration of Independence. And then when you get down to the bottom, it says the merciless savage Indians. That's what they refer to us as, the merciless savage Indians.
You say that your declaration, your constitution, you're an American Indian, but you don't seem to believe you're an actual American.
I'm Anishinaabe, and my allegiance is to the Anishinaabe Nation and to the other First Nation peoples of this country. That's where my allegiance lies. I do not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We do not stand for that flag because that flag does not stand for us.
Mike, what do you believe gives you the right to topple our statues?
Well, it's not our statues. It's that one in particular. I believe
right here.
Christopher Columbus should never take up space in the public square. He's a rapist, he's a murderer, and that's what I don't understand, is why would you look up to this guy? I mean, he got lost, for heaven's sakes. There was really no redeemable qualities. There was no redeemable qualities of this guy. He brought alcohol, Satan, and Jesus with him, and those have done so much damage to our people.
So for toppling the statue, the judge sentenced you to teach about the American genocide to young school kids. I'm not sure if that judge had the best idea there.
Can we pause there, Chris? Can we pause there? That, to me, is a sign that it was a really cool judge who understood exactly what was going on and saying, your penalty is to spread your gospel to young people.
Tell everyone. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think Simon and Julie, he's actually found his footing and is doing a really good job of making the case to Fox News viewers who he knows are against him, why he did what he did. And it's such a powerful point. Why would you want to worship a guy like Columbus, who was a rapist, who disfigured and mutilated people, who chopped off the hands of children if they didn't bring him enough gold?
Yeah. Right. And would hang them 13 at a time.
Yeah.
You remember that? I brought that up a while back.
Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
And you think about, who they have, the GOP, they've got Donald Trump, who is, charged with sexual assault and rape and all of these things. So, I mean, it kind of checks out to kind of be supporting somebody like Christopher Columbus. But what Jesse Waters, and I know he understands this, his family is liberal. His mother and his father were protesting the Vietnam War. His mother has even spoken out about, her son's wretched views on things. But the United States was built on an expectation that Native Americans would vanish, that we wouldn't be here, conveniently erased by violence and policies designed to either assimilate us or eliminate us. So this whole country is based on the idea and the hope that we don't exist, that we won't exist here anymore. It's not an oversight. It's a cornerstone. And he's right. In the Declaration of Independence, it's merciless Indian savages. That's how we are viewed.
Let me play just a little bit more.
Described in the document. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right. The merciless savages. Let's play just a little bit more, Chris.
I talk to anybody, a group of people, the first thing I tell them is a message for the non-natives, a message for the white people, that you were not here, you didn't do it.
Boom.
I wasn't here and it did not happen to me. But the animosity, and see, we're not blaming them, but the animosity comes from the fact that they have it all. They already took it all. And they're benefiting from the genocide. They're benefiting from what happened. And me and my people, we're still suffering. We're still suffering from what happened. Yeah. And so I want to let them know that we do not blame white America. They were not here, but we need their assistance on getting some of this land back.
While we may not agree on much, we appreciate Mike from the Anishinaabe tribe.
There's Fuckface wrapping it up. So I think that this human pustule thought he was going to invite this elder on to gang up on him and have a hate watch session. I thought Mike Foscia acquitted himself with a great dignity, and I was actually so impressed at the messaging he got across to a Fox News audience. He said talking points that we discussed, but I can guarantee your uncle racist back at home has never heard before.
That's true.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, when we go back to, like you said, Puzzface, Jesse Waters, when he talks about, you know, why do you think you have the right to tear our statues down? Well, what gave you the right to invade our land? Boom. And then you put statues up celebrating these people. I mean, even when we think of my land and we think of the Black Hills, and then you have Mount Rushmore, and they literally carved these white racist fucks into our ancestral mountain. And then people are like, why are Native Americans flipping it off? Like, seriously? I mean, you kind of, you know, you blame the education system. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, because of shows like these and because of social media, people are starting to understand why indigenous people would tear down a statue to Christopher Columbus, again would hang 13 Native Americans at a time, one for every 12 apostle and one more for Jesus Christ. And he was also a slave trader for the Portuguese before he ever stumbled our way. And so I think it gets people thinking, but again, when you watch the clip, and I hope people do, it's very leading. He's got a little smirk on his face. Fuck that
all the
guy.
Time and, all the time and, that fucking
yeah,
guy
yeah,
and there's so
partner.
Many cuts when you watch it visually, you'll see so many jump cuts where people change position in a seeming moment, and you know that they were cutting this to make him look worse and to cut out things they didn't want the audience to hear. Go
oh,
ahead,
it's bad editing.
Yeah.
Mike Forsha is right, though. And John, you're right. We've been saying this all along. You know, we don't blame white America. We don't blame the people that are here now. But he's right. We need your help. And we need you to understand. And we need you to hear us about the history of our people. And not just the history. You know, it's deeply traumatizing to have that history, but also these things are still happening. You know, there's ongoing injustices faced by Indigenous people all of the time. And that's what I think the message that we're trying to get across. And, you know, find out about your Indigenous brothers and sisters in your, you know, neighborhoods and in your area, like what's going on there, because we do need your help. And we do benefit from, you know, shows like this where we can share a lot of this information and just educate the public on what really has gone on with Indigenous people in this country, Turtle Island, both.
Amen. I also want to point out this clip on YouTube, on Fox News's YouTube page, has 75,000 views, and the comment section is like a library of racism and ignorance. Just awful. Let me go to the phones if I could. Russ is on the line from Idaho. Russ, welcome. You're on SiriusXM with Simon and Julie. Good evening.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Sure can.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Well, thanks for taking my call. How's everyone doing?
Very good. What's
How
up?
How are you?
Good. Hi, Russ.
Good. Good. So I'm going to say short time listener, second time caller.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to talk about tonight was how ignorance runs deep in white privilege and blind spots, because I kind of feel like both were on display in a call that you guys received last week. And I just want to address a couple things.
Please.
And the first is, you know, I'm the guy who called and had that story about Pine Ridge Reservation. And I just wanted to say that I've been aware of the devastation from alcohol on Indigenous communities, at least going back to high school, probably earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I brought that story to you guys, like, I didn't even have a thought or an inkling that this was a story that would have, you know, most likely a deep personal emotional impact with you guys, and I'm sure for tons of your listeners. And basically, like, I didn't think about who I was talking to and in the context of their history and likely personal experience. And I just wanted to say, if I had had that realization, if I had been more aware or thoughtful or whatever, I would have couched that story entirely differently, so no one would have got blindsided. So I just wanted to own that and kind of put that to your guys.
No, I'm a white liberal. I'm going to call you a monster. I'm sorry. I'm a white liberal. I have to condemn you in totality for that.
Well, I just wanted to put that out there to you guys. But this said, I also want to say I'm really glad that I called. And from what I gather, you guys got a lot of positive dialogue going from that. And I know I personally did. I sent that episode to both my daughters, and I sent it to friends all around the country and had a lot of back and forth. So I'm really glad that it happened, and I hope it gets some exposure for, you know, more exposure for your guys' show. And I think this stuff's really important. And then the last thing I wanted to say, and I messaged Julie about this, but and I hope it works out. But John, every time I call your show, it feels like I've made Julie cry, and then I've had inspired Simon to yell at me. So I'm hoping the streak ends tonight.
No, man, I like yelling at white people. No, keep going.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't deserve
Everybody's laughing, so.
And you didn't make Julie cry. You didn't.
No, you didn't make me cry, Russ. Life, you know, this is the life that was handed to me, and you didn't cause it. You know, it is just my life. And so I appreciate you calling back. And that's lovely that you shared it with your daughters and that you're getting, you know, dialogues going. And that's the whole point. You know, John and Simon and myself, you know, John giving us this platform to be able to have dialogue, you know, that's the whole point.
I just need a better show, and you guys make it better. So that's all it is for me. So the love fest continues.
I mean, I think you guys are doing really important work, and I think it's great that people are becoming more aware of this stuff. And also, one last thing before you hang up on me, John. I want to say that I've been listening I stumbled upon this show, like, I guess, probably a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I've heard Julie a few times recommend the movie Indian Horse to people. And she did that to me as well. And I watched it this past weekend. And, you know, it's gut-wrenching. It's raw. The first 30 minutes, I mean, the whole movie, but the first 30 minutes are, they're tough. But, like, people need to see this stuff, and they need to be thinking about it. And I had a really wise friend of mine yesterday texted me, and he said, history fucking matters. And, you know, people need to know that.
Yeah. Thank you.
So thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Russ.
Simon, do you want to respond?
No. I mean, it is important that it's great that he's sharing it with his daughters and he's sharing it with people. And that's one thing that I think as Indigenous people, we want people to share the wisdom that Julie and I are sharing, to tell the story, you know, unmitigated and as uncomfortable as it can be. It's important that we live our lives without the bullshit and the lies. And I think we talked about this before. There's a difference between bullshits and lies. Yeah. You know, a lie is when you know the facts, but you pretend you don't. And bullshit is when you pretend to know the facts.
Correct.
So when it comes to the American history textbook, it's important that we share these uncomfortable truths. Just like I mentioned about, you know, the University of Denver having a book bound in the filleted skin of an Indigenous person about Christian history. I mean, these are hard conversations, but these are facts. And we need to share it, especially since we're among you. Remember last week we talked about it, that more than 70% of Indigenous people now live in cities or in suburbs. We're there next to you in line getting coffee. So I don't want people to think that we're just trying to make them uncomfortable. We're just trying to correct the narrative.
Beautiful. We got to take a quick break. You guys will stay with us after the break. When we come back, I want to talk about a couple of different stories that didn't really make it to the mainstream corporate news, including this Catholic priest accused of sexually abusing Native children in Canada, who's going to be allowed to remain a member of the congregation because Rome said we're not going to fire him for this. We'll be right back in just a moment. We're at 866-997-4748.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back on SiriusXM Progress with Julie Francella and Simon Moya-Smith, who's actually going to be making the journey to New York City. And I guess I can tentatively announce we're going to be taping a session together inside the SiriusXM studios. I'm so excited to record with you guys up in the Howard Stern Tower late next week.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there, man.
Yeah.
Right on. I want to talk about the story we teased before the break, but let me get one more call in, if I may. Marie is on the line from Atlanta. Marie, welcome. You're on SiriusXM with Julie and Simon.
Thanks for taking my call. Julie and Simon, I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's so poignant. And Simon, I can't agree with you more about how disrespectful Jesse Waters' tone was. I hadn't heard this clip until John played it on the show. It really did sound just outright disrespectful and disdaining towards him. I thought Mike Forster did a really good job in his response. And I think that Julie and you also, Simon, have made a good point about the need to acknowledge as part of healing generational trauma, even though the descendants of those who caused the trauma and the descendants of those who came afterwards but have nonetheless benefited from the infliction of that trauma on Native peoples. I think that it is a situation where they don't understand that, just like if you inherited a house that has a sinkhole in the backyard, yeah, you didn't cause it, but you're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
That's so true, Marie.
I think you made a great point.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and you're not wrong. And I think that, it goes back to these uncomfortable conversations. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. And especially, we talk about white people a lot, but I've had black editors who were fans of the Chiefs or who were fans of the Washington football team, and they didn't want to have those discussions.
Yeah.
And it's sad because we are the last race of people who can piss off a whole sports bar, not by wearing the opposing team's jersey, but just by being Native. You know, we can, and I've been kicked out of bars in D.C. just because I did, like, look, we don't want to, I don't know where your stance is, but you guys need to leave. And so these uncomfortable conversations do need to happen. But again, it takes people listening to this show, it takes you having a Native in the room to have those conversations. But until then, they're just kind of living in this kind of like ignorant bliss.
You know, Julie, the essence for those of us who know trauma and work in the trauma field, the essence of trauma is not solely rooted in the events themselves, that's part of it, but also in the aftermath, including how those traumas are acknowledged, addressed, and remembered. And that, I think, is the part that now we're working on, you know, coming on shows like this and talking about these events, and then talking about stories out there that are happening right now, present day, in Indigenous communities, and not just Indigenous communities, but, you know, right across Turtle Island. And so that's the piece, I think, that we're trying to address now, is the aftermath of the trauma, because none of us were there when, you know, those traumas were happening, but we're here now. And so what are we going to do together to move forward in a good way?
Marie, thank you. Yeah. It's always a pleasure. You. Thank you. So
thanks, Marie.
I've spent a lot of time praising Canada for being so far ahead of the U.S. in terms of having a reckoning on the injustices of residential schools when we don't even acknowledge they existed here. And now, however, we find this horrible story out of Canada where a French priest was abusing Inuit children, and he's going to be allowed to remain a member of his congregation because apparently leadership in the Vatican ruled against his dismissal. Again, even though they know he did it, and apparently he faced allegations he was sexually abusing Inuit children for a long time.
Yeah, a long time. And one thing I need to say to kind of defend Canada, Canada is the ones that are going after him.
Yes,
it's
I'm sorry.
France
I'm,
that won't. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
You're right. My apologies. But you're right. You're right.
It's okay. But France is not willing to extradite him. And obviously the Catholic Church has made a decision, because he's old and I think he's in his 90s now, just leave him alone. You know, let him live his life out in peace. And all of these families have been destroyed by this man's abuse, sexual abuse. And they had a delegation that went to France to speak to the Oblates, to the Catholic Order, the children of children of the children that he molested and sexually abused. And they didn't tell them that the priest was going to be there in the room with them. So they had a chance to actually face him and tell them,
wow.
tell this man how he destroyed, you know, their fathers and their mothers. And they had the opportunity to do that. But the Oblate's inability to expel this priest has been met with such, you know, disdain and criticism because it's a missed opportunity for the church to demonstrate commitment to accountability and reconciliation. And that's the part I think that's so upsetting to Indigenous people and other Canadians as well, not just Indigenous yeah. people.
I mean, Simon, he was had an arrest warrant issued a couple years ago for indecent assault involving a girl. Between 1974 and 1979, then the French wouldn't extradite him. And then he avoided trial because he wouldn't come back to Canada after they put out a warrant for his arrest 25 years ago. And he has at least three more charges of sexual abuse in different communities. And those charges still stand over 20 years later. I mean, I want to say they couldn't get away with doing this to white kids, but that's not true. We know they did.
They did. And I was born or I was baptized Catholic, and I can't be Catholic anymore. I mean, out of good conscience, I just can't, because it's kind of culpability. It's like if I were a Crip and I was with the Crips, and then the Crips shot up this park and they killed all these kids. And I'm just like, well, I'm not one of those Crips. I'm a good Crip. And that's kind of how I feel about Catholicism. And so this is why I can't be in good conscience a Christian anymore. But I think that's also how many Indigenous people feel, because we haven't had a good example of Christianity yet, because they justified the theft of our land. They justified the theft yeah. of our children. They justified everything with this Bible. And again, they still come to the reservation even to this day. And they're not there to so much save us as much they're proselytizing and, you
exactly.
know, they're grandstanding. And it's like, we have shut the door to Christians coming. Like, we've seen your type already. We're good. You can leave now. Good. All right. Pray. You want to pray how you want to pray. Do whatever you want with the cross. That's fine. But please fuck off. You guys haven't brought anything good to us whatsoever. And so at least for on my reservation and for a lot of Indigenous people, there is this big step back. And just like, again, pray how you want to pray, but please don't bring that toward us for the past 400 years. Mm. That hasn't done any good for us.
Julie?
I do have to say, and Simon, I don't mean to disagree. I agree with everything that you're saying. However, I do know that there are good Christians out there that are trying to do better.
Of course.
And I know a lot of Indigenous people that are very devout Christians, and they kind of, some I know have combined like the traditional teachings, because that was lost. You know, that's coming back now. There's a reclamation of those traditional teachings. And I know a lot of Indigenous people that kind of combine the two, the Christianity.
But it's hard to combine the two, though. It really is hard to combine the two when they're saying that homosexuality is an abomination. And there are some Christians out there that'll say, you know, fuck
right.
that part. But
exactly.
we have a two-spirit society where to be gay is medicine, and they come over and they say, no, that is an abomination. It's like, fuck you, man. You brought this over here.
And if I can lean in and just say that also, it's not Christian. Jesus is never homophobic, and nobody
exactly.
follows the laws of Leviticus. It's exclusively used to pick and choose to pretend God shares your prejudices and hangups. It's not fucking Christian. Yep. I'm sorry, Julie. Go ahead.
Exactly. No, that I was going to say that actually isn't part of, you know, the Christian Bible, that homosexuality is, you know, against God's whatever. And so that's the part I think a lot of bad Christians try to use that to
yeah.
justify, you know, hate towards LGBTQ, two-spirited people. So
absolutely. Well, listen, I love this debate, but we got to take another break. And if you guys can stay a little longer, I do want to talk about a pretty positive story I wouldn't have expected, where this woman in South Dakota just announced she was going to ban Indigenous people from staying in her hotel. And a very unlikely source of justice came through in the form of the U.S. Justice Department. I'd love to ask you guys about this. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll be right back after a very quick break at 866-997-GRIT. This is Progress.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And welcome back. We're at 866-997-4748. We're talking with Simon Moya-Smith and Julie Francella. And guys, I got to ask you about this story. We've covered so many amazing things already, but this woman in South Dakota who said that she would ban indigenous people from her hotel. And now the U.S. Justice Department has kind of swooped in and said, boo-boo, you don't get to do that. Julie, can you set this up and tell us what is the situation at Rapid City's Grand Gateway Hotel?
The Grand Gateway Hotel, no natives allowed, basically, is the hotel co-owner, Connie Ure. She decided that one way to address crime was by banning entire race from her establishment. So following, there was a fight and something going on, and it involved two Native Americans. So she took to Facebook to declare a ban on all Native Americans from the hotel and I guess its bar as well. And she even mused, I can't tell who's a bad Native or a good Native. Talk about crash course in stereotyping.
So, and she puts this out in public. Yeah. She puts this out in public. South Dakota.
So in a move that screams, I'm not racist, but the hotel issued an apology letter. It's like saying, you know, sorry we got caught rather than sorry we did this. So the Department of Justice actually had to step in, and they had her, I think she's now I think she had to step down.
She's banned for 4 years, yeah.
Banned from running her hotel for 4 years.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, it is, but at the same time, you know, I think if you don't live in South Dakota, you don't live in New Mexico, or you don't live anywhere around reservations, this is that type of hate that is very common. Right. Indigenous people face that all the time around Rapid City. And that's right. They still have that hate of indigenous people. We're so discriminated against from even just going into grocery stores. You get followed up in North Dakota. I was there when we were fighting against Standing Rock. They wouldn't let us into Walmart. They wouldn't let us into grocery stores. So for everybody who's listening, who's maybe in New York or you're in Los Angeles or maybe you're somewhere that's not around reservations, this is very common. This hate of indigenous people and banning indigenous people from even entering stores is extremely common.
I posted a photo once about no natives. They were a renter, and they were not renting to native people. And they actually had a sign that said no natives apply. And people were saying that can't be true. That's fake. And it's not fake.
No,
people
just
couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
People couldn't believe it.
Well, let me ask, in this case, in this city, Rapid City, it is 11% indigenous. 11% of the residents identify as American Indian or Alaska Native. Is it just coincidental, Simon, that Rapid City is also known as the gateway to Mount Rushmore?
Well, yeah, because it's only 45 minutes, about 45 minutes to an hour from my reservation. And so a lot, and remember, we talked about this before, in my reservation is a food desert. There's no grocery stores. You're not going to find a Walmart. You're not going to find a Safeway. You're not going to find an Albertsons. So in order to get produce, you have to go all the way to Rapid City and then take it all the way back to the reservation. So the fact that, yeah, you're going to find 11% of indigenous people in Rapid City, it's because they're so close to the reservation. But again, that increases the hostility that indigenous people face in the city, knowing that you have to go there to get an orange. You have to go there to get a banana. Maybe, you know, and you're bringing it back to the reservation for a lot of the families. And so a lot of the crime is blamed on indigenous people. Regardless who's doing the crime, they're like, fucking Indians. And you'll find that racism in places like in Rapid City specifically.
I want to give credit to all the protests, because the hotel did shut down for a month because there were such organized, nonviolent protests. And at one point, the woman who just got banned 2 years ago, she was accused of spraying a cleaning product at demonstrators outside the hotel. So
she did it on video. Yeah, you can see it on video. It was captured by Indian Collective. Yeah.
Brilliant. Guys, it's come to that time when I ask if it's time to play another installment of Did You Know? We've got about 2 minutes. Simon, let me ask you, have any for us this week?
Absolutely. Well, Women's History Month, I want everybody, you know, did you know that Wilma Mankiller, love her name, was the first female chief of the Cherokee Nation? And she was about clean water for everyone, not just for the Cherokee people, but for everyone.
Right on. There's a documentary about her life well coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. Cherokee word for water, if you want to look it up.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Julie, what do you got?
I've got one. Did you know that during World War II, there was a Nazi POW camp located in Princeton, Maine, on the Passamaquoddy tribe's land? And the Passamaquoddy tribe did not have a say in the decision to place this Nazi POW camp on their land. And this camp actually exacerbated the difficult living conditions that they already faced due to poverty. And what I guess the story, as the story goes, the Nazi POWs had regular work, heated housing, prepared meals, and were compensated for following the rules, which starkly contrasted with the living conditions among the tribe's people there.
Oh, the Nazi prisoners were treated better than the indigenous citizens.
But remember, Hitler was inspired by the Indian reservation system.
Exactly, I mean, right.
Read John Toland, and you know, he's the biographer, and seriously, Hitler was like, wow, they know how to do it. Let's do it like that.
Yeah, let's do it like that.
Guys, thank you so much. I look forward to this segment all week long. Simon, what's the best way for our listeners to follow you and keep up with your work?
Oh, yeah. On Instagram, at Simon Said Take a Pic, or on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, Simon Moya Smith.
And Julie?
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Julie Francella. And thank you so much. And thank you for all your listeners and callers. We've had so much good feedback, and
thank you.
We appreciate it.
We got to go. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Thea. I'm John Fugelsang. Keep it tuned to SiriusXM Progress. Peace.